Greetings, everyone. Please get your Bible and follow along with me as we continue on our Bible study through the book of Acts. Now we get to chapter 16 and verse 1. Speaking of Paul and his trip that he was on with Silas. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, or Lystra, and beheld a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish woman, and believed. But his father was a Greek. So here was a young man who was a Jew, but a Roman citizen, just like Paul was a Jew, but a Roman citizen. And you're going to see now that a friendship and a relationship was forged between Paul and Timothy that lasted for as long as Paul lived. And this man, Timothy, became a powerful servant of God, trained by Paul. Well, he went to his hometown, Paul did, and he got to know him better, and he got further information about him. Verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So Paul circumcised Timothy. It was being all things to all men, even though it was not required spiritually, it was not wrong physically to do this. And so Timothy submitted to this, and Paul did this, and the church was growing, and you had to have wisdom in the way you handle situations. And so God guided Paul to do this and handle it this way. God guided Paul to carry out the ceremony of circumcision on Timothy, and he did so in order to not offend the Jews at that time. He wouldn't have done it if it was wrong. Even though it was not required, it wasn't wrong. Just using wisdom. Now let's continue. Acts 16 and verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now you hear about the Apostles' Creed or the Apostolic Creed. Well, that is not scripture, and that is not a legitimate document. It's a spurious concoction by men, and that's not what it's talking about here. This is simply talking about the decisions and the policies that the apostles reached at headquarters, and in particular at this latest ministerial conference. That's all it's talking about. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, carrying out their responsibilities and their duties out in the field as they went about fulfilling their ministry before God and guided by Jesus Christ. Verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. You know, the most important thing a minister has to do in terms of the church is to establish the church in the faith and care for the brethren. And as you do that, God will give increase when he gets ready to. But it's not about numbers and money. It's about faith. And that's what they did here. And so were the churches established in the faith. That's the first thing. And increased in number daily. That comes next when God sees fit to do so. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, God is the one who did not want them to go into Asia, and so he made it plain through the power of the Holy Spirit that they were not to do that at this time. God guides his church, he guides his ministers, and he does so through the power of his Holy Spirit. Did it then, and he does it now. Verse 7, after they were come to Messiah, or Messia, they assuaged or decided to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Once again, God didn't want them to go there, and he made it plain through the power of his Holy Spirit. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. God guided them through his Holy Spirit, and he also guided them at times by a vision. We have God's Bible that guides us today. They did not have the New Testament. They had the Old Testament, and they had some of the New Testament. But we have the whole Bible and God's Spirit to guide us today. And so we don't need to have visions and dreams for God's will to be made plain to us. He does that through his word and through his Holy Spirit. At that time, sometimes he would do it through visions or dreams coupled with his Holy Spirit so that they would know exactly what God wanted them to do. these visions were not weird and strange. They were just outlining God's will in whatever matter he wanted them to understand. So notice verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him," or urged him, "saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." It says here, "we endeavored to go." Luke wrote the book of Acts. He was a physician. And that's why he says, "we endeavored to go." He was with Paul, and he was keeping a journal, and God was inspiring his writing, and it was later compiled together, and the inspired book of Acts was written then and preserved for us today. Verse 11, "Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis." In other words, they pushed away from the dock and took the boat on their journey. "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days." Now, some manuscripts and some indications are that this was the Feast of Pentecost in around 50 AD. The translation can read, "and we were in that city abiding certain days of weeks." Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks. You count seven Sabbaths or 7 weeks to say in general terms from the weekly Sabbath within the days of unleavened bread. And you count 50 to the day of Pentecost, and you keep the day of Pentecost on that 50th day, which is always on a Sunday. So there's good indication that we're talking about the Feast of Pentecost here when it says we were in that city abiding certain days, or on the day of weeks is the proper translation in the Greek manuscript according to some authorities. So it seems pretty clear this is the Feast of Pentecost. And on the Sabbath, once again, in the Greek, the word here is translated Sabbaths, seven Sabbaths, Feast of Pentecost. "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted there." Why did they go on the Sabbath? Why did they go on what appears to be one of the annual holy days? Or it could have been the weekend that involved the weekly Sabbath and the annual Sabbath, the Feast of Pentecost. But nevertheless, they went out there on the Sabbath. And who was out there? Well, there were certain people there praying, and some of the women had resorted there. "So on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." Quite often, people would go to this beautiful, quiet place for prayer. And so they went there, and they probably knew that when they went there, there would be people there that they could help and teach and serve. "And we sat down and spoke unto the women which resorted there." These were women who were principled women, who went there to pray and probably to keep the Sabbath. "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple," a wonderful product of clothing, "a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." Here was a woman being called of God, and who came there to worship God at this special place, with others who were there, including women. And Paul and his party went there as well, and taught them, and served them. She heard them, and she wanted to know more, and she wanted to do more. So when they saw that God had opened her mind and God was calling her and she understood, and they went through the various things that needed to be gone through in order to determine if a person has truly repented and is ready for baptism, she was baptized. "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us, she convinced us." Now when it says she was baptized in her household, it doesn't mean babies or little children. It's talking about servants and young adults and people whose mind was open and they could understand. They were brought to repentance and deep conviction, and they did repent, and then they were baptized. What a wonderful time. This outstanding woman and the adults in her household, they understood the truth. They wanted more. They repented. They wanted to be baptized, and they were. There in the river where Paul and his party had gathered with others, on this Pentecost weekend, where you have two Sabbaths, that's what it appears to be if you check thoroughly into the meaning of verse 12, 13, and the time of year this was. Now notice Acts 16 and verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now that was true, and demons know that, and they know who God's ministers are. But this demon had this poor woman possessed to the point to where she was into sorcery and fortune-telling and soothsaying and making a lot of money for her handler, so to speak. Here were men taking advantage of her, and the demon that she was possessed with was used to produce money and a profit at the expense of this poor woman, to line their pockets with money. They didn't like it when Paul dealt with it, as you will see. Verse 18, And this did she many days. See, they would go down to this place for many days, and they would stay there and preach and teach and serve the people who were there. It wasn't that they were just there for one or two days for the Sabbath or for Pentecost. They stayed on for many days and followed up on the baptisms and followed up on the teachings. And the fruit that was born through these servants of God was tremendous, because God was working in that area and through his powerful servant, the Apostle Paul. Verse 18, And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, highly agitated, turned and said to the spirit, to the demon, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Sometimes when a demon is cast out, it doesn't leave instantly. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it leaves a little later. But it always will leave when Jesus Christ, through his ministers, commands it, and by the authority he has, to come out of an individual. Verse 19, And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, see how racist they were, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. There was no trial involved here at all. They just said, Okay, we'll take your word for it. Beat them up. See, they were upset because their livelihood was gone. The demon had been cast out. The woman no longer was a fortune teller, and they no longer could make profit through her. Verse 23, And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Well, here we go again. The Apostle Paul is beaten up and thrown into jail for preaching the truth. But he was committed to serving God, and whatever came as a result of that, with God's help, he was going to endure it. Continuing, verse 24, Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So the keeper of the prison, the jailer, made them as secure as he could in the prison. His life was on the line. Verse 25, And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. They just simply kept on worshiping God, serving God, trusting God, praying to God, singing to God. And suddenly, verse 26, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Apparently this was just an earthquake right there in that locale, and it shook everything and everybody up. This was a miracle. God did it. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. He knew it was over, just looking at it humanly. But God was involved here, and look what happened. Verse 28, But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm. We are all right here. We haven't fled. Even though this miracle has taken place, we haven't gone anywhere. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? God had been working with him, and now he brought two of his servants right where he was. And now this man saw the final thing necessary to convict him and to bring him to deep repentance and baptism. And so this jailer was being worked with by Almighty God, and he was brought to repentance and baptism. Paul mentioned the acid test here in verse 31. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." And they spoke unto him the word of the eternal and to all that were in his house. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ, but there's more to it than that. We also have to understand the truth. We have to understand what Jesus Christ requires. And we have to believe it, and we have to do it with all of our heart through the power that comes from His Holy Spirit. And all of this was taught to them in the household of this jailer and to the jailer himself. And look at this. Verse 33, "He took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and cleaned up Paul and Silas and dressed their wounds and was baptized, he and all his straightway, he and those in his home who were adults and capable of making adult mature decisions, there they were baptized." These are incredible miracles. These are incredible events taking place in the life of Paul and Silas as they go through on this tour, preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, and serving the brethren, and baptizing those that God has called to repentance and baptism. What an exciting time in the history of the church, and what an exciting period of time in the New Testament ministry. And we can learn from these, because we serve the same God they served. We follow the same inspired words they followed, and God will work through us like He worked through them in terms of serving the need of the church and of those that He's working with today, just like He did then. He may do it in a bit of a different way in terms of miracles and signs and wonders, but it will be the same truth. It will be the same procedures. It will be the same policies established by Jesus Christ and His church then. They will all be based on His word, these guidelines, and this truth. Continuing, verse 34, "And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat or food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." And they had a wonderful celebration there of the baptism and of the conversion of this jailer and his household, or those who lived in his house, his family, and his servants. Verse 35, "And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, let those men go." They didn't want any more to do with these people, Paul and Silas and others who were with them. And so they wanted to kick them out of the area. They didn't want any more complications. "And the keeper of the prison told this, saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul was not going to have any part of that. He wasn't going to let them off that easily. You know, God's ministers don't go around punching people out, but they're not throw rugs either. And they stand their ground when they need to, and when it's the right thing to do, and when lessons can be learned, and the truth can be preached, and they can let their light shine. Notice what he said here in verse 37 of Acts chapter 16. "But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, without any reason, and no trial, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Not so fast. Nay, verily, let them come themselves and fetch us out." See, Paul knew the Roman law, and he knew they had not been handled properly within the legal bounds of the Roman law, and so he wasn't going to let them get away with this. "And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Uh-oh, what have we done now? And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia, who had been baptized just before, as we read. And so now she was a convert, and now they could go spend time with her, and she could accommodate them. So they went to her house. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed." You just see true ministers of God in action here, taking care of the true people of God and God's power at work through miracles and signs and wonders, or through however He chooses to move and work among His people and among His ministers. Very instructive, very inspiring, and very interesting to read through this book and study it carefully, which we will continue to do, God willing, and we hope you'll join us as we do. So we'll stop there and pick it up next time with Acts chapter 17. This is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.